Hey, this is Lori Twitchell, and I just walked in the door, literally just walked in the door, from seeing the brand new Marvel movie, The Thunderbolts. So you know what that means? This is a bonus episode of Nothing Trivial with my review of The Thunderbolts, happening now. Hey everyone, here we are. It is The Thunderbolts. It's finally released. It's May. We've got the beginning of the tentpole summer, and Marvel's kicking it off big time with the Thunderbolts movie. If you are a Marvel fan, you've known about this for a while. You know about Fantastic Four that is coming up soon. This is the movie that I feel, forget kind of Captain America, Brave New World. I know that was sort of setting some pieces in place, but the Thunderbolts for me is what really is kicking off the next phase of Marvel, the post-Avengers phase, if you will. And this review could not possibly be more hot off the presses. I walked out of the theater, got in the car, spent about 15 minutes with my son talking about it, and then came right to the studio to get this recorded so that you can hear it now. Now, let me start with saying I'm going to do my best not to spoil. I'm going to open with non-spoilery reviews. I'm not going to put any spoilers in there. There will be a moment where I get deeper into discussion and I do get into the spoilers. I will make sure that there is a spoiler warning so that you don't have to worry about that. So this early part, if you don't want to be spoiled, you want to go into the movie fresh, this is where we are. And then you can dump out later when we get to the spoilers part. If you would like to wait and watch the movie yourself, then you can come back. Come back and listen to it and tell me what you thought. But overall, as you know, hopefully by now, I do not watch movies in order to tear them apart. I go in, especially when I'm spending money to go sit in a movie theater and watch, I go in for the experience. I don't generally sit there thinking about plot holes, things that are happening. I want to go in fresh. I watched one trailer for this movie and a couple of commercials, and that's it. I'm not a comic book. Let me go back and fix that. I'm not a comic book person. I am not well versed in the comics. I have friends who are, and I call them when I need to ask a question, but I am a Marvel Cinematic Universe, MCU fan. I go in to watch the movies. I don't know the bad guys beforehand. I like to keep myself somewhat pristine so that I can enjoy the experience in the movie theater. And let me tell you what, I didn't know what to expect from this movie. I wasn't quite sure. I was feeling sort of like the Wish version of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't have any kind of like a new Avengers, even though they're all Earth-based. I wasn't thinking any sort of Avengers tie-in. When I saw the commercials and I saw the trailer, I felt more Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, random people who have no reason to be where they are, none of them extraordinary or spectacular until they kind of all get together. So I was equating it more with Guardians of the Galaxy than I was with anything superhero Earth-based kind of deal before I went in. This movie, I deeply enjoyed it. I really, really, really did. Again, you're getting my gut first reaction as soon as I come in. But I had a great time with this movie. It shocked me with the layers and the profound storytelling that was in this movie. This was not a film that you go sit down and watch and it's just bad guys shooting other people, aliens or whatever, or fighting time travel or fighting bad guys. It wasn't that, and that surprised me. This was a deeply layered study of human emotion. Seriously, like I was just stunned by some of that as I was watching. And again, this is the spoiler-free part, so I'm not getting into a bunch of that stuff in depth until after the spoiler warning, but There were moments I was cracking up in this movie. It's not a spoiler, but there's a meth head chicken in this movie. You gotta love that. There's a guinea pig an actual guinea pig in this movie. I laughed, I giggled. David Harbour, let me just say, he owned every single scene that he was in. Like, he was amazing. Obviously, the comic relief. Obviously, the one guy who boosts the energy in every single scene that he's in. You could be in the deepest, darkest trenches of something, and nobody is talking in that movie. And then David Harbour's Red Guardian walks in the room, and the energy level spikes. Even if you hate it, you're giggling and laughing at the fact that he is like human energy at that point. I really enjoyed the interplay between all of them. I thought it was highly clever. I'm going to be honest. I told my son when the screen went dark right before the very first opening, I leaned over to my son. I said, the sole reason that I am here is for Bucky Barnes. That's it. When I say that I'm a Captain America girl, I am a Captain America fan. That's it. It's Steve Rogers. It's Bucky Barnes till the end of the line. I could do this all day. I could be all the things. And the idea of seeing more than a 10-second clip of Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes coming back on her screen, that's what put my butt in the seat, honestly. And I absolutely adored his turn in this movie. Sebastian Stan, brilliant actor. I mean, if you didn't get that from all of his award nominations for his movies in the last year or so, you definitely should get it from this movie. He is the epitome of somebody who is struggling to figure out who he is, what his role is, where he is supposed to be. And they play that very wonderfully in this movie. The ill-fitting titles, the ill-fitting, like, doesn't quite fit in. Yet Bucky, as always, I mean, even when he was the Winter Soldier, you could feel deep down inside somewhere there was still Bucky, and that is still prevalent in this movie, and it is fantastic. As for feelings in the movie, how did I feel when I left? How did the audience feel? You know, when you go that first day, I've told you guys this before, you go to the preview settings or the sneak previews, or you go the first day it opens, and I was at the first showing when the movie theater opened up today. There weren't a ton of people because it's Friday at 11 in the morning, but I will say people were cheering. They were standing up. There was yes, there was laughter, and there was a lot of applause and clapping throughout the course of the movie. I feel like that means that most of those people who are hardcore coming the first day, coming for the first screening, if they are clapping, if they are cheering, if they are excited about the movie, it's a good one. And so that's how I feel about that. The layers of the horror in this movie, though, cannot be overstated. When we were on the way home and I asked my son, like, what was the thing that surprised you the most about this movie? The how truly scary the bad guy in the fight was. That caught both of us off guard, actually. It was the depth and the layers to the exploration of the human condition in this movie were completely unexpected. This was definitely not just spandex. There were profound and incredible insights and layers. I keep saying layers, but that's all I can come up with, to the storytelling that draw you in and pull you into dealing with a lot of ugly things within every human being that walks the face of this earth. It is not just shoot 'em aliens, blowing things up. It is definitely not that kind of movie. And he was right. I mean, the horror involved with this bad guy was a really big moment for me. And it affected all of the storytelling. Now, before I get into spoilers, because as I start getting this far down the path, this is where I start discussing spoilers and bringing up certain things. Let me tell you, this was a 2-hour and 6-minute movie. And it needed, in my heart, all of those 2 hours and 6 minutes. The things that it set up, I did not feel like it was running long in places. I felt like all the pieces were there. You know, later after I've had a chance to think about it, usually after I've had a chance to look at other people's stuff, I go, oh yeah, you know what? There was that plot point that could have gone different, or there was a plot hole here or there, whatever. While you're sitting in the movie theater, I wasn't thinking that. I did not ever at any point stop. It didn't take me out of the experience to stop and think, wow, what? Why didn't they just do this different? Or this is dragging on or anything like that. It was a fun, paced, really good, powerful story. I wasn't as much a fan of Captain America Brave New World. And I told everybody when I made that I had a lot of grace for it because it's a movie that's obviously setting the stage for other projects and for the next phase. And sometimes those movies are a little bit harder to pack the fun and all those layers and things into it that people are looking for. I understand, by the way, there are cutscenes. If it's a Marvel film, don't leave until the projector turns off and all the lights are there and the guys are saying, can we clean this before the next screening? It's a Marvel movie. Don't go. There is an extra scene and then there is a scene all the way at the end. And those scenes let me know why certain things happened that required the Captain America movie to come out first. But again, you know, when I first got into the MCU, I watched Thor and I was like, it was all right. It wasn't too bad. Captain America movie was the one that got me into everything. Thor was enjoyable. And I would go back later and go, oh, look at that. Look at the Easter eggs that are set in there. Look, we met this person there. I didn't remember we met that person. I'm hoping that that's what Brave New World does. So that later, once we've gotten past this one, Thunderbolts and the Fantastic Four, and deeply into this Marvel next phase, that we can go back, that I'll be able to go back and enjoy it a little bit more for that. And that's what I'm hopeful for. So yes, there are cutscenes. Yes, it is 2 hours and 6 minutes long. I enjoyed it. I had a great time at the movie. My son and I did talk the whole way home, and there were a lot of questions that we asked. There were a lot of things that we were ready for. I am ready for the Fantastic Four. I am a Pedro Pascal fan. I am an OG Fantastic Four fan in the, I liked Chris Evans as Johnny Storm. I liked Jessica Alba. I liked all the people that they had, especially. I thought that Ewan Griffith was a brilliant Mr. Fantastic. So as much as I love Pedro, and if you were to go into any of my saved reels or anything on Facebook or Instagram, you would see I have a lot of those. I adore that he has this childlike presence that you want to follow, but then his acting chops are such that he can be a completely different person the second that switch is flipped. I think he's brilliant. I wanted to say fantastic there, but that's a little too on the nose. But when the news came out that they were casting him, I wasn't 100% sold on that. I'm not still 100% sold on the cast. But I love the look of it. I love the retro feel of it. I love what they are putting together. And I love all the effort that they are putting into it. So I'm in and I'm hopeful. My son said he is also hopeful. But he said there's so much that they've built onto the Fantastic Four. I'm afraid that it can't possibly hold that load, the weight of expectation that they've built. But I guess we'll see. This movie obviously was setting a lot of that up. And it's interesting because that's supposed to be retro and 60s-ish and such. So I don't know. We'll see how that all ties in together. But for me, this is a thumbs up. If you want, you can stick around for a few more minutes. I'll get a little bit deeper into the movie, throw some spoilers in there. If you want to stick around for the rest, this is the spoilery part of the podcast. So I'll give you a couple minutes. If not, we'll say goodbye and we'll catch you next time. I'm releasing an episode next week that's got writing tips and some discussion of what's the difference between publicity, public relations, and marketing, and what does your project need. All of that is coming up next week. if you stick around, you're going to get spoiled. Turn it off now. All right, if you're still here, then let's get into the nitty-gritty. Let's talk about it. The spoilers, this movie blew me away because the battles that happen in this movie, again, they're not the Chitauri. They're not a foreign alien race. It is not just a matter of someone trying to come in and take over the Earth, save the Earth from Thanos, save the galaxy, the universe, all those things. The battles that are fought in this film, I keep calling it a film, but I think it is rather than a movie, and there's some distinction in that. If you are a cinephile, you'll understand the difference. But the battles that were fought, the bad guy, the layers, the things, the depth in this movie deal with mental health, depression, and with our own misperceptions of who we are, the expectations that other people have of us. Now, people in my life have called me a relentless optimist. I'm a relentless encourager. I want to be the support system for people. I want to be the cheerleader. Everybody that I've ever talked to, I say, I'm delighted. I'll be in the front row cheering for you. And I'm happy to do it. I've had people who've joked and said, do you want to be in front and center in the spotlight? No, I'm completely fine being the wind beneath people's wings. I love encouraging and supporting and pouring into generations. But some of that comes from a lack of that in my life. I have had encouragers and supporters in my world. Please don't think that I have not. I have. I've got some very special and profound people who've built into my life. But by and far, the largest number, if we were to weigh that on a scale, falls into the negative. I grew up often hearing not what I could do or why shouldn't I. I heard all of the bad things. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. Why would you bother doing that? Why try? Why put yourself out there? You can't. You can't. You shouldn't. You don't. You don't belong. Those are the things that I grew, my formative years were filled with. I'll just be honest. And the majority of my life, there's been most of that feeling like I am displaced, like I don't belong. That's it. Those things that other people have said about you, that you carry with you, I fully believe that every person who walks the face of the earth has had those things happen to them, has those voices in their head. That's what you battle in this movie. They dive deeply into trauma, depression, and shame. And this gets super profound for me. In fact, I will probably record a second episode of the podcast that just hits some of those spiritual highlights, because there are moments in there where I had Bible verses and scriptures and things in my head that were just, wow, that was amazing. But that's not what this episode of the podcast is for. So I'm going to save that for a later point when I can really get into that deep dive devotional discussion. For right now, here at this moment, the bad guy is not a brain trust that you need to kill, or somebody that you need to just disarm this ship, or all the nuclear bombs are going to go, or killing the aliens. You are required in this film to get from the beginning to the end, where the battle is over, this battle is over, to walk through every moment of your life's mistakes, your deepest traumas, and your shame spiral. In fact, at one point, one of the people in the movie, one of the characters, says we all got locked into shame rooms to relive our deepest shame by ourselves over and over again. And that's true. It's exactly what happens. And it is horrifyingly difficult. It is splashed on that screen in the biggest way possible. Trauma, pain, agony, and hearing the bad things that other people have said about you, the weight of other people's expectations, and the expectations not that you're going to succeed, but that you are designed for utter failure and you don't belong here and you don't have anything good to give. man, this movie like lays it right out. There are moments where they say, you just wish that you were chosen. You wish that you were worth something. You wish that you were of value. That is profound for me. That was big. The bad guy in this movie, I didn't know who it was. I saved his name for the spoilers, Centurion. I have never followed the Century Project. I have never followed, again, I don't dive deep into some of those things. I recognized Valentina, what's her name, from the Falcon and Winter Soldier series that was on Disney, but I haven't dug into what those various pieces and aspects mean. But Centurion is a scary superhero, anti-hero, whatever he is. And that was a profound moment in the movie for me. And so on that emotional level, yeah, I left this movie, you know, wow. That was wow. They didn't shy away from certain things. They didn't shy away from some of those parts. And, you know, maybe this isn't what you were expecting in the spoilers section. I apologize if you are still listening and you're like, that's not what I was looking for. I wanted to know what the bad guy was. I wanted to know how they defeated the bad guy. I'm not going to do that. You're going to have to go see the movie or read all the spoilers and the reviews that I'm sure will be out in the next 24 hours. Legitimately, though, I really was impressed by this movie when I got to the end of it. And I was ready to talk about it. And that was one thing that didn't happen for me with the Captain America movie. This movie I was ready to discuss with people. So that's where I'm going to kind of come to an end on this. I enjoyed it. I think that it was a great launching off point for the next set of Marvel movies, for the next phase in the Marvel universe. I feel like this is the movie that kicked it all off. And I feel like it was a good one. I feel like it was a good place to be. There was laughter. I did tear up. There is the human elements. And they set up brilliant things for coming in the future. So I highly recommend it. You know, if you go see the movie, I'd love to hear what you think about it. I'd love to hear where you think they hit, where you think that they missed, what things were in it that you were a fan of and you weren't a fan of. Did you agree with me? If you disagree, disagree kindly. If you are here only to tear apart my views of the film, I'm not going to put up with that. This is, you don't have to listen to me if you don't like it. But I am always open for actual respectful discourse and discussion. So that's it. This is your bonus episode of Nothing Trivial. We're talking about the Thunderbolts. If you go see it this weekend or if you have seen it, drop me a note, comment, let me know what you think. Next week, I will be releasing an episode. I think I said this earlier, but I've done a couple takes. So just in case I didn't, I've got an episode coming up, the difference between publicity and marketing, what you actually need for your project, because those two things, they work hand in glove, but they are not interchangeable. People use them in an interchangeable manner. I'm going to dive into that. What do you actually need for your project at this moment? I also have some writing tips. If you're a writer and you're creative and you're stuck and you've got that dreaded writer's block, I have some tips and hints for things that might help you a little bit with that. Thank you for tuning in. If you are still here, again, you get bonus points. Thank you. And we will talk to you next week. And now we have come to the part of the podcast where it's time to start wrapping up and say goodbye, but not without giving credit where credit is due. So thank you. If you are here and you're listening at this moment, you are the reason that I'm doing this. Thank you very much. Your encouragement, your support, your feedback, it does mean the world to me. And inviting me in to be a part of your day, whether it's on your commute, while you're at work, on your lunch break, time is precious. And thank you for allowing me to spend some of that with you. The Nothing Trivial podcast is, in fact, a Lori Twitchell production. All of the content, the recording, everything that you see here and mostly experience is from the imagination of me, Lori Twitchell. Except the sound design and the editing. That is a product of the guru, John William Twitchell. His only job descriptions are to ensure that I sound good and to make sure that I'm not too awfully embarrassing. The music that you hear is Loopster by Kevin MacLeod. He's got an entire library at incompetech.com. And if you'd like to check that out, it's incompetech.com.